All right, so everyone's been talking about this mysterious fog lately, haven't they? It's been all over the news, social media, everywhere. You guys have sent us a bunch of articles and posts, even some scientific papers wanting to know what's really going on. And honestly, I'm kind of curious too, especially with all these crazy theories flying around.
Well, it seems like everyone is a little on edge with this fog, and for good reason. The reports are coming in from all over: US, Canada, UK, Australia.
Yeah, even my mom in Florida called me about it. She was freaking out a little, to be honest, especially after she saw those videos.
The ones where people are shining flashlights through the fog and you can see all those little particles swirling
Yeah,
around.
exactly. It
Yeah.
just looks so unsettling. Like, it's not just normal fog, you know?
Right. It's definitely not what people are used to seeing, and that's a big part of why we're seeing so many conspiracy theories popping up.
Oh, yeah, the theories. Fog Vid 24, chemical attacks, government experiments, alien spores. I mean, where do people even come up with this stuff?
Well, it's easy to let your imagination run wild when you're faced with something unusual and potentially threatening.
True, true. But before we get too deep into the conspiracy rabbit hole, can we back up a bit? For those of us who might have skipped science class that day, what exactly is fog anyway?
Basically, fog is just a visible mass of tiny water droplets or ice crystals suspended in the air near the ground. It forms when the air near the ground cools down to its dew point, which is the temperature at which it can no longer hold all of its water vapor.
So kind of like when you see your breath on a cold day.
Exactly, same principle.
Okay, that makes sense. But people are saying this fog is different, right? Denser, longer lasting, happening in places where it usually doesn't.
You're right. It's definitely not your typical morning mist. That's why people are getting so freaked out, and, well, the conspiracy theories are thriving.
Okay, let's dive into some of those theories then. You mentioned Fog Pit 24 earlier. What's the story there?
It seems like some folks are convinced that this fog is carrying some brand new virus, causing symptoms like coughing, fatigue, headaches, you name it.
I mean, after the past few years, I can see why people would jump to that conclusion. But is there actually any evidence to support that?
Honestly, not really. While some people have reported feeling sick during these foggy periods, those symptoms are actually pretty common, especially during the winter months. We've got regular colds and flu going around, and let's not forget, we're still dealing with COVID.
So just because people are getting sick when it's foggy doesn't mean the fog is causing it.
Exactly. Correlation doesn't equal causation. And there haven't been any unusual spikes in respiratory illnesses that can be directly linked to the fog. No strange new symptoms, nothing like that.
Right, so Fog Vid 24 debunked. What about some of the other theories? Chemical attacks, government experiments. Those sound straight out of a movie.
They do, don't they? But we need to look at the evidence, or lack thereof. The chemical attack theory, for example, is pretty far-fetched. While there have been instances of chemical weapons being used in the past, those typically involve specific chemicals with identifiable signatures. And there's just no indication of anything like that happening here.
Okay, so no toxic gas masquerading as fog. What about government experiments? People are bringing up stuff like those San Francisco fog experiments back in the 50s and 60s.
Right, Project Sea Spray. The US military did experiment with spraying artificial fog over San Francisco to see how it would affect naval warfare. But just because something happened in the past doesn't mean it's happening now.
So no secret government fog machines hiding in the woods.
Not that we know of, and again, there's just no credible evidence to suggest that any government is currently conducting large-scale fog experiments or anything like that.
All right, we've tackled a few of the big ones, but what about some of the even weirder theories?
Ah, yes, we've got the smart dust theory, where people believe those swirling particles in the videos are actually tiny government sensors being released for surveillance.
Smart dust. That sounds like something straight out of science fiction.
It does, but it's actually based on real technology. DARPA, the US Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, has been developing these tiny sensors for a while now for things like environmental monitoring and military intelligence.
So it's not totally impossible.
It possible, sure, but again, we need evidence, not just speculation. And there's absolutely no proof to suggest that these smart dust sensors are being released into the atmosphere, let alone causing this weird fog.
Okay, so we can file that one under interesting but unsubstantiated. And what about aliens? I've seen people saying this fog is a sign of extraterrestrial activity or even carrying alien spore.
Oh, the alien theories, always a classic. Look, while the possibility of extraterrestrial life is fascinating, there's just no scientific basis for connecting this fog to aliens.
No close encounters of the foggy kind.
Not that we've seen. And remember, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. If someone's claiming aliens are behind this fog, they need to bring some serious proof to the table.
Fair enough. So we've explored a lot of theories, some more believable than others, but we still haven't really answered the big question, what is causing this unusual fog? And what about those strange illuminated particles?
You're right. And that's where we need to shift gears from speculation to science. We need to look at the weather patterns, the atmospheric conditions, and the potential role of pollution. And that's exactly what we'll do in the next part of our deep dive. Welcome back, everyone.
Still trying to see through all this fog, both literally and, well, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So as promised, let's get into the science of SOG, shall we? We talked about how it forms when the air near the ground cools down to its dew point. But what exactly is dew point, and how does it play into all of this?
Yeah, I was wondering about that, too. It sounds kind of technical, but I'm sure there's a simple explanation, right?
Absolutely. Think of it this way. Dew point is the temperature at which the air just can't hold any more water vapor. So when the air cools down to that point, the extra water vapor has to go somewhere, right? It condenses into liquid water, forming those tiny droplets that we see as fog.
So like when you have a glass of iced tea on a hot day and you get those little water droplets forming on the outside of the glass.
Exactly. That's condensation in action.
Okay, that makes it much easier to understand.
Yeah.
So the colder the air, the less water vapor it can hold and the more likely we are to see fog.
You got it. And that's why fog is often more common in the early morning or late evening when the temperature tends to drop.
But what about all these reports of fog happening in places where it's not usually seen? Or at weird times of day.
Right, that's what's making people scratch their heads. There are actually a lot of factors that can affect fog formation, not just temperature. We're talking humidity, wind speed, even the presence of tiny particles in the air that the water vapor can condense around, which are called condensation nuclei.
So it's kind of like a recipe, with different ingredients coming together to create the perfect foggy conditions.
You could say that. And if any of those ingredients change, the type of fog, how thick it is, how long it lasts, all of that can change too. Like, if you've got higher humidity, you're more likely to see fog, even if the temperature isn't that low.
Makes sense. So, how does all of this relate to what we're seeing now with this strange fog? Is there something different about the weather patterns or the atmosphere in general that could be playing a role?
Well, there isn't one simple answer. But climate change is definitely something we need to consider. It's causing shifts in weather patterns all over the world, and that could lead to more frequent or intense periods of high humidity, which, as we talked about, can make fog more likely.
So climate change could be making things, well, foggier.
It's definitely a possibility we need to explore. And then there's pollution. Fog acts like a giant air filter, you know? It absorbs and concentrates all those pollutants that are already floating around in the air.
Right, and that ties into what we were talking about before with those reports of a chemical smell in the fog.
Exactly. And this link between fog and pollution is a serious concern, especially with air pollution levels rising globally. We're talking about particulate matter, nitrogen oxide, sulfur dioxide, all kinds of nasty stuff.
Yikes, that doesn't sound good. So we're not just breathing in fog, but all the pollution that's trapped inside it.
Exactly. Those tiny water droplets in fog can actually carry pollutants deeper into our lungs where they can do more damage.
Okay, that's pretty scary. So what can people do to protect themselves, especially if they have to go out when it's foggy?
The first thing is to stay informed. Check the air quality reports for your area. There are websites and apps that give you real-time updates on different pollutants. If the air quality is bad, especially when it's foggy, try to stay inside as much as possible, especially if you're thinking about exercising outdoors.
So just like checking the weather forecast, we should be checking the air quality forecast too.
Exactly. It's that important. And if you have to go out when it's foggy, think about wearing a mask. An N95 or KN95 mask is best because they filter out those fine particles more effectively.
Good advice. Now, we've talked a lot about the physical health effects of this fog and the pollution it carries. But what about people's mental health? I mean, all this uncertainty, the conspiracy theories, it has to be taking a toll, right?
Absolutely. When you're faced with something like this, something that feels so out of your control and potentially dangerous, it's normal to feel anxious, especially when you're bombarded with conflicting information from all sides.
Like information overload. Everyone's got a theory, everyone's an expert, and it's hard to know what to believe.
It really is. That's why it's so crucial to stick to reliable sources of information, like trusted news outlets, official health organizations, scientists who actually study this stuff. Don't get caught up in the social media echo chambers where misinformation spreads like wildfire.
So stay informed, but stay calm.
Exactly. And remember, this fog, like everything else, will pass eventually. In the meantime, focus on what you can control. Take care of yourself, both physically and mentally, and support each other.
Well said. So for the last part of our deep dive, I want to talk about the bigger picture here. This fog seems like a wake-up call about climate change and pollution, right? Like these are problems we can't just ignore anymore.
You're absolutely right. It's time to have that conversation. So,
Right.
in the next part, we'll explore how this fog connects to the changing climate, the impact of pollution, and what we can do to advocate for a cleaner, healthier future for everyone.
Okay, so we spent the last two parts of our deep dive really digging into this mysterious fog, haven't we? The science, the conspiracy theories, the health risks. But it feels like there's something bigger here.
Right. It's like this fog is a symptom of a much larger problem.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a warning sign. So for this final part, let's zoom out a bit and talk about those bigger issues. Climate change and pollution. How does this fog fit into that whole picture?
Well, we know climate change is messing with weather patterns all over the globe, right? More extreme events, intense heat waves, crazy rainfall, and yeah, even weird fog formations.
So those changes in temperature and humidity we were talking about before, climate change could be making them even more extreme, basically creating the perfect recipe for this dense, long-lasting fog.
That's a big part of it, yeah. And remember how we talked about fog acting like a sponge for pollutants?
Right, soaking up all that nasty stuff.
Exactly. So as we see more of these unusual fog events, we're potentially seeing more concentrated pollution close to the ground where we're breathing.
Double trouble, basically. We already touched on the respiratory problems pollution can cause, but what about the bigger picture? How does air pollution affect, well, everything else?
Air pollution has its dirty fingers in a lot of pies, unfortunately. Respiratory and cardiovascular diseases, damaged ecosystems, acidic oceans, even crop yields. It's a serious threat on multiple levels.
It sounds like this fog is a pretty clear message that we can't keep kicking the can down the road on this. We have to do something, right?
We absolutely do. And awareness is the first step. We need to understand that our actions have consequences. Our reliance on fossil fuels, our consumption habits, the waste we generate, all of that contributes to climate change and air pollution.
So being informed is key. But what can we actually do? Sometimes it feels like individual actions are just a drop in the bucket, you know?
I get that, but even small changes add up, especially when we all do them. Think about reducing your reliance on cars. Take public transportation, walk, bike, carpool, whatever works. Support businesses that are making an effort to be sustainable. And be mindful of your energy use at home. Simple things like turning off lights when you leave a room, unplugging electronics you're not using, and switching to energy-efficient appliances can make a difference.
Those are all good everyday things we can do.
Yeah.
But what about pushing for bigger changes, like on a policy level?
That's crucial too. We need to hold our elected officials accountable for making environmental protection a priority. Demand stronger regulations, support policies that promote clean energy, sustainable practices,
Yeah.
that kind of thing. Get involved with organizations working to fight climate change and pollution. Vote, participate in peaceful protests, make your voice heard in your community.
So it's a two-pronged approach,
Yeah.
changing our own habits while also pushing for systemic change.
Exactly. And knowledge is power. The more we understand about these issues, the better equipped we are to make a difference. Talk to your friends and family about it, share what you've learned, raise awareness, and inspire others to take action.
Love it. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you want our listeners to walk away with?
I think this fog is a wake-up call, you know? It's a reminder that we're all connected and our actions have consequences. But it's also a call to action. We have the power to create a better future, cleaner, healthier, more sustainable, but it takes effort. We need to stay informed, engaged, and proactive.
Well said. Thanks for guiding us through this fog, both literally and figuratively. And to everyone listening, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, get involved. Let's make a difference.
And remember, even though this fog will clear eventually, the problems it highlighted are here to stay. Let's use this as a chance to create positive change, both in our own lives and for the planet.